Good morning. Thanks for joining us this morning. I'm Chrissy Mernon, and my guests are Rachel Larson. She's a physical therapist, founder and owner of Forte Rehabilitation and Wellness Center, and Sarah Pasquale is a cancer survivor. And they are here to invite you to The Six. The Six. It is a fundraiser for Thrive Well Cancer Foundation, and Thrive Well funds cancer research and assists cancer patients. And ThriveWell has some wonderful programs in our community. And the founders of ThriveWell have been guests here previously. So we'll talk about ThriveWell and how they helped Sarah at her time of need. But we'll start with Rachel. So tell me about The Six, what it is, and how you came to be involved with it, please.
All right. Well, good morning, Chrissy. So The Six is a show, and it's a show about six cancer survivors here locally in San Antonio. And we tell their stories through an interesting format on stage. So there's monologues, and interspersed with those monologues, we have song and dance and music that help dramatize a little bit the story and hopefully inspire, educate, and ultimately entertain as well, the people in the audience. Mm-hmm. So we are doing two things with this show. We're raising money for a very important cause, Thrive Well. And secondly, we're educating and motivating and, you know, bringing these stories to the forefront. They need to be told. They're really good stories. They're compelling stories. And the thing of it is, and you asked me how this came to be, is that these are people, you know, they're neighbors, they're coworkers, there's just people in the community who are going through some really tough things. People don't know about it because they don't typically share these stories unless you're in their inner circle. And so you kind of have this peripheral knowledge of what people go through when they go through cancer treatment. But we wanted people to hear, you know, we wanted to hear the stories of the problems and the suffering associated with this, but also, you know, how did people come out on the other side? And there is hope that you actually, you know, can recover from this and become whole again, mm-hmm, in a new way, but whole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The triumph. So right. You did The Six last year. Was that your first year?
Last year was our first year, and it was a really big success. I think people were really blown away by it. They didn't really know what to expect.
Right. You don't, because you think, you know, who wants to go hear about cancer?
I know. That's true. That's true. And I think the people who went were urged, and they were going to support maybe their friends who were being featured in the show, or maybe they had heard about it because they've had cancer. And, you know, we also encouraged a lot of people to go. It was a lot of social media, you know, is basically what we did. And so the people who were there last year, I think, were there because they knew somebody that might have been involved in the show. But we had almost 400 people, mm-hmm, at the show, and it was a huge success. And so we wanted to do it again this year, but this year it's a bit bigger scale. This year we are at the Aztec Theater, which I don't know if you've been to the Aztec Theater, but it's an absolutely gorgeous theater.
I've heard there that it has been redone.
Oh my goodness. I love going to it's worth the price of admission just to see the Aztec Theater. It's absolutely beautiful. So we have a live band this year. You know, we just have a real professional crew that is involved in this show. And we're super proud of this year's show. And we're so excited to bring it to San Antonio. I think it's going to be great. And I hope everybody comes out to see it.
So it's Saturday at the Aztec Theater. That is Saturday, June 17th. How can people get more information, get tickets?
They can go directly to our website. And that's fortept.com. So fortept.com. Mm-hmm. On the homepage, there is information about the show. And there is a link to the Aztec Theater where you can easily purchase tickets. So you can either go to our website, or you can go directly to the Aztec Theater website and search The Six through there, and you can get tickets that way.
So, Rachel, how did you get associated with Thrive Well?
Gosh, I've been associated with Thrive Well from the very beginning. So my clinic, Forte, is a physical therapy clinic, and we really, we're a full service clinic, but probably 90 to 95% of our patients are cancer survivors. So, well, either they're cancer patients going through cancer treatment at the time that they see us, or they may be coming to us after cancer treatment to help recover from the devastating effects of cancer treatment. So I've developed a relationship with the oncologists here in town and the surgeons and the radiologists. And so, Forte is, I'm proud to say that we see probably the vast majority of people who need physical therapy if they've had cancer will come to us. So I developed this relationship with Dr. Amy Lang, who is the founder of ThriveWell. And it started with a DIVA program, which is a free exercise program for, at the time, it was for breast cancer survivors. And she just came to me and said, would I like to be involved in starting up this exercise program? So we started the exercise program at my clinic. And I want to say that was in late 2006 or early 2007.
Mm-hmm.
And so we started with that. And then ThriveWell was established shortly after that to provide the other legs of the stool, if you will. So the research component and also the financial assistance for patients component.
So when someone's gone through cancer and they've had mm-hmm. treatment and now you're telling them to exercise, do they feel like doing that when they arrive mm-hmm. at Forte and it's time to do some work? I mean, do
right.
they feel like, because, you know, I just think it's such an exhausting, beat you down disease and treatment.
Right. Well, we have people coming to us with all different levels of ability. So sometimes people come to us and they truly are not appropriate for a certain level of exercise. And so it's up to us at Forte to really just try to help gently bring them back to that. So we do a lot of work where the patient is really getting the treatment from us. So we're doing a lot of hands-on work, a lot of like massage, if you will, but with a real goal in mind to like increase joint range of motion or to decrease pain in a certain area where there may be some either tissue damage from radiation or from surgery, there may be some tissue skin contractures or muscle contractures that we're trying to work through. And then start them off very slowly, reintroducing movement. So not necessarily exercise in the traditional manner that you would think, but just movement.
Mm-hmm.
Very easy at first. And then by the time they're gone, you know, the goal is to get them where they can begin to exercise again on their own and feel comfortable and safe in doing so. There's a lot of fear mm-hmm. about movement. Are they going to re-injure themselves? Are they going to be too tired? You know, those kinds of things. So we just try, a lot of it really is overcoming the fear and just gently bringing them back to that level of function that they were before.
Now, you brought with you today Sarah Pasquale. She is a cancer survivor. So please introduce Sarah and tell me about her and the six.
This is Sarah. I'm so pleased that she's with us today. I came to know Sarah, and we were talking earlier, I think it was around 2014, mm-hmm. That she came to me as a patient for physical therapy. And she has, since that time, just done beautifully. She has returned to work. She's exercising, and she's doing a great job. We're real proud of her, and we're real proud to have her represented as one of the six. She's got an incredible story, and the things that she overcame during her course of treatment were pretty amazing to me.
Sarah, welcome. So tell me about what you were doing, because you're very young, and certainly I would think that cancer was nowhere in your mind as a young woman. What happened?
First of all, good morning, Chrissy. I'm so happy to be here. I feel really blessed to be here, actually. So during the time that I was looking at what was going on as far as my cancer diagnosis, I was actually in school. I actually found my lump in August of 2012, and it took quite some time for me to finally get my diagnosis. But at the time, I was working part-time as a waitress. I was going to school full-time as a nursing student, and I was just being a young adult, living life, going to concerts, going to movies, spending time with friends and family. And I was also working out a lot. I felt like I was at my healthiest when I got my diagnosis. I did volleyball, I did boot camp in the morning, and I ran 3 miles almost every day. One day I just happened to be in the shower after volleyball and swimming, and I felt something, and as a nursing student and the daughter of a nurse who's been a nurse for over 30 years, I knew I had to continuously do these monthly self-exams. And when I felt that, I was like, okay, that's weird. I've never felt that before. So I got out of the shower and I laid in bed and did another self-breast exam, and it still was there. So I was a little nervous, and I asked my sister, hey, can you feel this? And she said, you know, I do feel something. She's like, what is that? And I was like, I don't know. So I asked my mom and I said, you know, there's something here. And she's like, well, she's like, I don't think you should worry about it. You know, don't mess with it too much. And, you know, we'll see what happens. And being a nursing student full time and working part time as a waitress, you know, you don't have insurance. So I was like, okay, I can either walk away from this and, you know, see how this turns out in a month, or I can take action now. And I decided that I didn't want to wait. So the very next day I went to the doctor and they did feel something and they said, okay, we're going to go ahead and send you for a mammogram. So I went to their radiation place and the radiology place rather. And they said, okay, you know, you're too young, you don't have a family history, and pain really is not a symptom of breast cancer because breast cancer likes to sneak up on you. So they said, we're going to go ahead and do an ultrasound instead of a mammogram. And when the ultrasound came back, they said, well, everything's normal, so you're fine.
And so weren't you relieved? You were like, okay. Were you relieved or did you have a nagging?
I felt some relief, but at the same time, I was like, I'm still going to watch this because this wasn't normal. This isn't, you know, you're with yourself every day. Right. The doctor's not with you. So they don't know. And they probably see you, what, like once a year. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to watch this. So then in September, I woke up in excruciating pain. And again, I was very healthy at the time. So blood pressure was good, like over 70s. And I went to the clinic. And again, they were like, well, you know, your blood pressure is like 140 over 80s because I was in excruciating pain. But they were like, you know, pain is not a symptom of breast cancer and you're too young and you don't have a family history. It doesn't seem like there's significant change in the growth. So we're not going to send you for a mammogram.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
And then in October, I actually received a call from university and they said, have you had your mammogram this year? And I said, no, I have not. And so they said, okay, well, why don't you go to your doctor? So I went to the doctor again. And all this time, the lump had been growing continuously. So
could you, I mean, because I know you're checking it. So are you feeling it?
Oh, yeah.
Did you feel it was getting bigger?
Yeah, you could feel it. So when it first started out, it was about the size of a dime. And by the time I had gone in October, it was probably about the size of a shooter marble or so.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you know those big ones?
Right, yeah.
And it was probably maybe a little bit less hard than that. But mm-hmm. It was definitely palpable and it was definitely hard and different than the other parts of my breast.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to the doctor and the doctor said, you know, I'm going to write this order for a mammogram. But, you know, what if they say, you know, everything's normal? What if they don't find anything? And I said, well, what else can I do? I'm just going to keep monitoring it and checking it. And she said, okay, I'm going to write the order. And she wrote the order for the mammogram. And again, I went to go get scanned and they said, you know, again, you're too young. You don't have a history of breast cancer, and we're going to go ahead and do an ultrasound. And again, it came back normal. So after that, I just threw myself into a lot of research. I was still in nursing school, and I was using the resources that I had, looking into medical journals, looking online, trying to find some sort of connection and research between young women and breast cancer, and can it affect somebody that's never had breast cancer in their family?
Because are you thinking I have breast cancer?
Yeah. I had this gut feeling and I couldn't like let it go.
And they're telling you you're fine.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Three months in a row, you're fine.
Yeah. But you can't let it go. You're doing research. And so what happened?
So I continued to work, continued to exercise, continued to live life. But all the while I'm going home every single day and every single night I'm staying up trying to find out, you know, what I can about breast cancer. So before I even got diagnosed, I already knew what kind of treatment that I would face, what kind of drugs, like as far as chemotherapy. And then after the actual breast cancer itself, I knew what kind of surgery I wanted. And this is before I even had my diagnosis. 6 months later.
6 months. So all this time, I mean, because cancer is growing.
Yeah.
And you're worried. I mean, but you're going on, you're doing all your healthy things because you live a healthy life. And then, so 6 months later.
Actually, 7 months later, a second lump grew.
Oh.
Yeah. So the first one is now about the size of a golf ball. The second one was about the size of a pea. And this one was hard. Very, very, like rock hard. And I thought to myself, and I told my family and friends, you know, I'm not going to be another young woman that dies of breast cancer because nobody will listen to me. So again, still working part-time as a waitress, still going to nursing school full-time. I'm trying to find resources here in San Antonio, and that's how I happened to stumble upon Thrivewell. I was actually looking for ways to get funding so that I can get a mammogram, and that was one of the websites I stumbled upon. I went through university finally, because I went through Baptist and they didn't have any funding at the time. So I went through university, signed up for their CareLink program, and they were able to see me. So I went downtown, and again, they said, you know, you're too young, you don't have a family history, pain isn't a symptom of breast cancer, we're going to do another ultrasound.
Another ultrasound. And you're, oh gosh. So at university downtown, they did an ultrasound?
Mm-hmm. They did an ultrasound. It was my last day. It was my last day of finals for my third quarter. And I'm about to start my last quarter of nursing school. And I said, okay, let's get it done. So I did the ultrasound. And this time it was different because the tech came in and she said, you know, we're going to go ahead and do the mammogram. And right then and there, I already knew what was going to happen and what was going to be said. So we went into the room for the mammogram, and as she's starting to do the exam, something that had never happened before was I started to have this like pus and bloody discharge, and she had to actually stop the exam just so that she could wipe me off.
Mm-hmm.
And then she continued the exam. She brought me back into the room, and then the head radiologist came in, and she said, you know, Sarah, I see some very concerning spots on your mammogram, and I need you to come in as soon as possible. I told her, okay, well, I'll cancel work tomorrow. And she said, okay. She was very nice. She pushed back her whole schedule and made me her very first appointment. And so that morning, I went to church and got anointed with oil and got prayed over, and me and my mom and sister went downtown. They did a biopsy in three spots, one on each of the lumps that I felt, and then on a lymph node. And then that was on Wednesday. And then Friday, just 3 days later, the same radiologist who had told me, you know, you don't have cancer, told me and my mom that I had stage 3 breast cancer.
Stage 3. Oh, what, you know, what was going through your mind? Oh. Yeah. I mean, I can't even imagine, but I have some idea that I would be angry because I had been telling people for so long, and then, oh my God, I really do, your worst fears confirmed. So what's going through your mind when you hear those awful words?
It was like everything went silent, completely silent. It was just like deafening silence. I didn't know really what to feel, because there was just this flood of emotions that overtook me. I started laughing at first because it was like, oh my gosh, you know, I have been right this whole time. They think I'm crying wolf, and I've always known there was something wrong and I could feel it, and now I'm not crazy and everybody knows I'm not crazy. It was a relief. It was, you know, a weight lifted off my shoulders. It was a little bit of sadness and a little bit of happiness. I know that sounds crazy, but when I confronted the radiologist, I said, you know, do you remember me? Do you remember do you remember me at all? I told her, you were the one who didn't want to give me the mammogram. And now you're telling me I have cancer. And I started to cry. And she said, you know, I think I remember your name. I think I remember your case. But she didn't really apologize or anything. And I didn't know what else. I was angry and upset because it was something that could have been caught, because I was completely vigilant. I did everything the right way. I took all the necessary steps, and each time I got shot down. I mean, if it was, you know, their family member, okay, you went once and they gave you the ultrasound. You went the following month and you're still worried, or they're still worried, you know, you follow up with that. If it's like the third time, you know, why wouldn't you, just to put the patient's mind at ease or to put your family's mind at ease, just get what you need done? Then there's no, you rule out everything and you can go on with life. But it didn't happen in that case. And I think there's a reason why. It was so that I could tell the story and kind of help people realize that just because someone is telling you no, that doesn't mean that you can't get a second opinion. It doesn't mean that you should just give up. You should just keep pushing forward with what you feel in yourself and in your gut, what's right.
That's what you said, trust your gut. And all the time your gut is telling you, and you know more. But you know what? My gosh, if you had just accepted it and moved on and you really hadn't pushed it, you know, we wouldn't be having this conversation, mm-hmm. you know, because you wouldn't be here. Because now you've got stage 3 cancer. And, you know, I just know that from every health professional who comes in here, the earlier something is caught, the better the outcome is. Mm-hmm. And so, but here you've been doing this research. You're a nursing student. And so our guest this morning, Sarah Pasquale, she's cancer survivor, and Rachel Larson, she's a physical therapist and founder and owner of Forte Rehabilitation Wellness Center. And we're talking about the 6. It's a fundraiser for ThriveWell coming up on Saturday, June 17th at the Aztec Theater. And Sarah's story is one of the 6. Sarah won't be on stage.
Correct.
Correct. But her story is.
Her story will be on stage. Absolutely.
And what a profound story. I mean, and we haven't even gotten to the cure, but this is. But to be told, you know, you're too young, you don't fit the profile, there's no family history, you know,
Well, you know, Chrissy, I spend a lot of time with my patients when they come through my door. So, you know, typically a patient is in my clinic for an hour, sometimes an hour and a half, and days and sometimes months that I spend with these people. And so when we're sitting there and maybe, you know, we're doing a massage or something like that, these stories come out. And for the last, I've been doing this for over 15 years now, and I've been hearing these stories like Sarah's and so many others that are just as
profound.
Just as profound. And I'm like, oh my gosh, these stories need to be told. And I've been to fundraisers before, and always to me, the most moving part of any fundraiser for cancer research is hearing somebody's story. And as you know, my family is in, a lot of my family's in the entertainment industry here in San Antonio. And I thought, wouldn't this be an interesting blending of my two worlds? What I do as a provider for cancer patients, and then what my daughter does, my son-in-law, is, you know, directing and choreography and performing and music and those sorts of things. So I thought, boy, we could tell some really great stories here, and we could really make some big time money for ThriveWell Cancer Foundation. And it has been an amazing project.
How about that?
So yeah, we didn't want to put the survivors on stage. We felt like that was too much to ask. But what we did was we brought them all in for interviews. From those interviews, we had writers who wrote the stories, wrote the monologues, and then handed those monologues over to the director, Carla, and she arranged the show around these 6 monologues. So you'll hear 3 stories in the first act, and you'll hear the 3 stories in the second act. And they are all, we try to keep it as true to the patients or to the honorees' stories as possible. And the actors are wonderful, and they do a great job. They did a fantastic job last year. And, you know, they're very talented people. These are people who have worked in the industry for many years, who've had formal training, who've worked on cruise ships and in Branson, and, you know, professional musicians. And it's going to be great.
Okay. Let's get back to Sarah's story, because now you have that diagnosis. Mm-hmm. You've done a lot of research. What about treatment?
So because of how fast it grew in a short amount of time and how big it was, they said that because I wanted to do chemo first, I didn't want to get out of school and have to go through rehab while I'm in school, or to step back from nursing school at all because it was my last quarter. I said, okay, I guess we'll go ahead and do the mastectomy. And so we did my first mastectomy, and the dean and a lot of my teachers actually worked very well with me so that I can get all my nursing hours in and all my clinical hours in at the same time, and having to be out for 2 weeks at least, mandatory. So I had my first mastectomy, and then I actually finished school
You are just an amazing person. I will say that because, and you know, I think most people would have given up on I can't do this. You know, I can't. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So wow.
Thank you. I just couldn't sit around. I wanted to be done. I wanted to be finished. And so I did that. And then I actually set up a hair donation drive, and I actually cut my hair and shaved my head the same day I had my port placed. And I think a couple days later, a week later, I started chemo. I did 6 rounds of chemo, and I finished in January of 2014. And then in May of 2014, I had my second mastectomy with what would be my first round of reconstruction. And maybe 4 or 5 reconstructions later, here I am. And it only took 1 year and 11 days for them to declare me cancer-free.
That is awesome. Congratulations. Mm-hmm. You bet. And so ThriveWell. So how did you, as you were searching, what has ThriveWell done for you?
ThriveWell has actually done a lot for me. I was looking online to find some sort of connection to young women in breast cancer. I was also looking for some sort of support group. And I knew I didn't want to be in a support group that was one where you just went and shared your feelings and cried, because that's not what I needed. I needed something to take my mind off the cancer, but where people could relate to me. And the Diva program provided that for me. I actually started out in a crochet class. We've done artful healing. I've done the nutrition classes and the exercise classes that they have, like the one that they have at Forte with Rachel. And it's been very nice to be able to relate to these women, because you're sort of in the sisterhood that nobody really knows about. It's a club that nobody wants to be a part of, but once you're there and you have these women and you connect, then, you know, it's automatic. You already know that they understand where you're coming from and they can help you out. They've been through that. They've been down that road and they can help you.
Absolutely. That's wonderful, isn't it?
It is. It gives me goosebumps every time. Every time I hear it and see it in action.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
The other part to that, though, was they were able to help me as far as getting the therapy that I needed. I had really bad lymphedema after I had finished my chemo, and I would go to Rachel's to get that my arm wrap and have the lymphatic massage. I also had Anasarco, which is swelling all over my body. My feet could not even fit into my shoes. I had to wear flip-flops. I had what I called elephant feet. They were so swollen. And it took a couple of months to finally get that under control. I also had some peripheral neuropathy. And so they were able to help me with that therapy with their patient assistance program. So ThriveWell has just been there every step of the way, from diagnosis all the way until now. 3 years out, I mean, I just celebrated May 28th, 3 years of me being a survivor, and I'm still attending all these Diva classes and still working with ThriveWell. So they're a really great component and a wonderful resource here in San Antonio and surrounding areas for cancer patients, and not only breast cancer patients.
Mm-hmm. So your message to people?
I think my first one would be that you can't rely on somebody else. You have to rely on yourself, and you have to push your own life. You only have one life, so you have to do what it takes for you to live that life here on earth. And the second would be that you're not alone. There are plenty of resources. You just need to reach out.
And that's where ThriveWell comes in. ThriveWell is one of those resources in our community. Mm-hmm. Our guest this morning, Sarah Pasquale, cancer survivor, telling her story. Her story will be told at the 6. It's a fundraiser for ThriveWell coming up on Saturday night. And you can see how it's a beautiful story, because, mm-hmm. I think it's kind of difficult, mm-hmm. Morbid, mm-hmm. But it's really not. And you wanted to, Rachel, you want to make sure that it doesn't come off that way.
No, we have different stories that are coming from different directions. So when you hear Sarah's story, it's obviously very moving. It's quite a triumph. But I will tell you that we also have others who, you know, had an easier time of it. And we have others who had a very difficult time. So there are light moments in the show for sure, because life involves all the emotions, right? You have to laugh. You have to have fun. You have to have some distractions in life, and art does that. And so we try to portray that as well. So yes, there will probably be some tears, but there's going to be laughter. There's going to be joy. you know, we have some really rousing numbers that just kind of bring you through the whole range of emotions, I would say. Well, it's going to be great.
You've made it very intriguing.
Yes.
And so if people want tickets, it's Saturday night, the 17th, mm-hmm. at the Aztec. What time?
The show starts at 7, but we do have a silent auction and cocktail hour at 5:30, and we would love everybody to come early. And then afterwards, there will be a meet and greet after the show to meet the survivors, the actors, and have a little fun afterwards.
Okay. Yes. Website?
The website is www.fortept.com.
I want to thank you both for coming by this morning.
Thanks, Chrissy.
Thank you.